Okay, welcome back to 2S Horror Quarters Podcast, episode 13. Today we have Eric, also known as Spawn.
What's good?
In the quarters, and Gerald, also known as Urge 7.
All the time, no CPT up in here.
Off camera, behind the mic, our guru behind the Google searches and info and all that good stuff for us, Anderson B. Cox.
Yo, what's up in the house?
Well, let's get right to it, man. I talked yesterday to Spawn over the phone about some things we can talk about right off the bat. And, let's just jump right into our top 10
horror.
Specifically ours.
This is just ours. It's not so on Twitter. Don't chastise me because I didn't like this movie or that movie. I love all the movies.
Correct.
But this is my personal remote droppers. When I'm changing channels, even though I have the Blu-ray, I see it. I'm going to drop the remote, watch it. So I'll start with my number 10 then, right? So my number 10 is, I think it came either 2007, 2008. Middleman might have to check for me. The Strangers. And I'm not a big horror, new millennium horror guy. My wheelhouse is 70s, 80s. But The Strangers, to me, is so brilliant because it's one of the examples for horror where less is more. There's not like a splatter fest, guts. It's like more of a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Okay, more of a mind fuck and more of psychological.
Yep. Wow.
And people just, even if they say, and this is all spoilers, by the way. You know, if you ain't seen it, you know, just forget. This is all spoilers, right? We good with spoilers?
Oh, yeah, man.
Okay. Yep. So even if they didn't kill or attempt to kill Aerosmith's daughter, Liv Tyler, at the end, she would have been scarred for that night regardless. She would have been done and over with regardless because of the much mental damage that they did to scaring the shit out of her.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So The Strangers to me, less is more. Just banging. I love the way that the villains were, the potato sack dude, the little baby girl mask, and then the calendar girl mask. It was just an incredible movie. Have any of y'all seen it?
Yeah. I slept on this list.
Right.
And, you know, we're going to be jumping off topic, by the way. I don't know if we're going to get straight through our top 10, but The First Strangers.
The First Strangers is incredible.
It was incredible because, like you said, less is more.
Mm-hmm.
And, they used a house, and then they built a house
right. For
a lot of that because, you know, the sound and all that, you
right.
got to redo and ADR. And,
right.
But, man, just what you don't see, right?
Right.
What you don't see, and it scares you, you know, you're home at night
right.
by yourself or
exactly.
even with your family. And
yep.
you know, that happened here. November 1st, probably not what happened in the movie.
Right, just someone knocking at the door.
Three times.
Yeah.
Day after Halloween, right? This was when Mikey was just born, but it was November 1. I thought, man, that'd be kind of a scary movie. Someone's still trick-or-treating.
Right.
Right? So nobody was there. It was about 9 o'clock. Second time, I go outside. Nobody's there. Third time, I grab that thing, right?
Yeah.
I'm waiting by the people, right? And I see movement. And I just barge the door open, and I come out. I come out just pointing. It was two girls, probably early 20s.
Right.
They take off running to a parked car across the street with a dude in it.
Right? Wow.
And I'm like, Who are you? And I, you know, I'm pointing on him. I'm not. It's not cocked or anything
right,
like that.
Right,
but
of course,
I'm pointing.
Of course.
I probably shouldn't have done that dumb shit. But you know, I had the
baby. You
gotta
defend your family.
Was, yeah, dude.
Of course not.
He's trying to get the car started. He can't get it started right away. Finally, he gets it started and he takes off. And I'm just waiting outside in the dark. He circles a few times. You know, my girl calls the cops.
Right.
They come and they just wait. Of course, by that time they were gone. But it reminded me of The Strangers.
Right.
When the dust settled that night,
yeah.
I thought, damn, this is kind of like The Strangers.
Absolutely,
where you got
yeah.
people just coming to your fucking door.
Yeah.
And you know
another
what I mean?
Thing, that, I mean, that's a scary-ass story. And another thing I also enjoyed about the movie is that the villains weren't over the top.
No.
The chick says about three words. You know, maybe about four or five. The baby chick, she speaks only. The big dude, he doesn't say a word. And then the calendar chick, she don't say shit.
Right.
And so, what's, you know, so creepy, like someone knocking at your door late at night, that shit is like, you know,
yeah,
you automatically get on guard, especially nowadays.
Right.
Back in the old days, people come late, you know, whatever, uncles, aunts, but nowadays someone come unexpected, shit
yeah,
you
right.
said
no,
that real. Dang dang
right. yeah no right. that's real, man.
I recommend that with you.
No, that's real, man. Yeah, no, me
also, Strangers came out May 30th, 2008. That's my birthday. FYI.
Okay.
Yes,
happy
sir.
Birthday, man.
Yes,
happy
sir.
Birthday,
happy
man.
Late birthday.
Go
yeah.
jump in
2008
birthday.
What do you got, Gerald?
Yeah, me, man, I'm going to go with, I'm going to have to go with, like, Phantasm, man. Ooh, and I'm talking about the whole franchise. Nice. This really shook me to my core, man. Mm-hmm. I only wrote down movies that affected me. You can watch anything, but for something to get through into you and touch you inside, and put that finger on your heart or put that finger on your shoulder, have that hair stand up on your neck, that's special. Every director, every film, the music, the cinematography, it doesn't bring you that. Not every one of them.
Right.
Phantasm, it shook me, man.
Ooh. That villain, another tall one man. Is dope, the tall man.
Tall man.
And then he had like the most unique backstory of all like the main killers, like the iconic killers, and he had one of the most unique weapons. That
of course
ball.
He did. Of course he did. The silver ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. The orb.
I haven't seen part five. Chasing. It came out like 2016-17, but I heard part five was ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I heard it was good.
Those are movies that touched me, man. And back to the thing you were saying about the less is more. Even with something like The Shining, you saw some blood, you saw some scenes and some different stuff that they were showing you visually, red rum, just different things. But what made it creepy was this huge place, and you know that there's no one there except maybe one or two or three people in this huge place. And then all of this stuff's going on inside. He's trying to write. He's going insane. You go outside. You had the black dude in the maze. It was just in the snow.
He was worthless, poor dude. He came all the way
wasn't
from
he?
Florida.
Wasn't he, though?
And the minute he gets there, and he had just shining, so he can't see that coming.
Right.
He didn't know that he was going to get axed in the chest.
Right. It's ridiculous.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I want my money back on my powers.
That's
you know what
real.
Mean?
Right. No, that's real.
I got all these powers. And, I want my shit back. Give me my money back.
And now I get killed. I get deaded right out here. Yeah, so those are things that shook me to my core, man. Texas Chainsaw Massacres. Right. Those things shook me to my core. Carrie.
That's on my
where's,
list.
Where's Texas Chainsaw Massacre on your list?
My list?
Yeah.
Oh, mine is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's 6 on my list.
Okay.
And when I saw it, sorry, go ahead.
No, it's 7 on my list. Yeah. So we're right next to each other.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I was Leatherface for Halloween this year.
Wow.
But the thing with the Texas Chainsaw, the original Texas Chainsaw, was that it was like there's no music indicating that Leatherface is coming. So like the first time you see Leatherface, if you don't shit your pants, you're not human. You know what I'm saying? Because he just opens. Because I saw it at 10. So and I stayed with my grandpa that summer in Queens, and like he had a video store. So I would just rent like all the horror flicks that I've heard about, like I read about in Fangoria. So I grabbed Texas Chain, and man, that when the minute you first see Leatherface, when he opens that and he hits the dude with the sledgehammer, the dude starts vibrating.
Yeah.
Yo, if you you didn't shit your pants, you have no soul. You have no dude, it was crazy. That was how scary that movie was.
Yeah.
I just watched that recently.
It shook me to my core, man.
Out of all the whole franchise, that one's still the most powerful.
When they put the hammer in the grandpa's hand and they want him to break the head. He started this. He's just too old to keep going. And they're like, go on, Grandpa, get her. Hit that bitch.
You're the best killer. You're the best killer.
That was... Psychologically, dude, that was doing damage to watch that happen to someone. That was ridiculous. I was just like, are they really... Are they eating these people?
Right.
This is crazy. Are they wearing these people?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Insane.
What's your 10?
Okay, for 10 is going to be The Shining.
Right, we were just talking.
Yeah. Now,
come on, man.
That's 10, and I have a separate kind of half of a list of as far as my favorite, right? It's my favorite versus which ones I think are maybe crafted the best, and to me, Shining is probably number one.
Right, of course.
Absolutely. But I'm saying man. Perspective, scary. Everything's perspective, everything's relative.
Yes, sir.
For me,
yes, sir.
Number 10 would be The Shining, and I just had to revisit it. A lot of these movies I got to revisit as an adult, and I just revisited The Shining a couple weeks ago and studied it a little more. And it ranks 10. It was tough putting it at 10, but it, you know, it's no slight at it at all.
Right. No.
Just the emptiness of that, which Gerald talked about, of that hotel, right? You're there and you're changing, right? And your family's watching you just change, and they look to you for help and they need help from you.
Right. Right.
Right.
That was insane, man.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's one of my favorites. Jack Nicholson's performance is just insanity.
It is.
The way they off the set, they used to brutalize, who's the actress?
Shelley Duvall.
They used to bully her on set just to get the scene right. And that's how deep Kubrick was, that he was just like not impressed with her acting skills and was trying to scare the shit out of her, you know, when the camera was off.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she looked, now she looked like she's 100 every time you see her.
Did you see her now? She's got mental... problems.
She was wow, man. Bill. Wow, man. See?
Incredible.
I just said, psychologically, sometimes these films, man, and, you know, you're watching them, and you're taking all this stuff in, and visually, these things are stunning. You don't even know what you're doing in your mind. You're taking in so much information, the paint on the wall, the pattern of the carpet, the blood drip, not the sink. You're taking in so much information all at once, not even focused on the main thing that's going on. So sometimes these things can definitely get in you, depending on how well put together you are mentally. So I can understand if she's having some issues, because she lived that. Like, it was a movie for us, but she was on set with that, and she had to go home with that. She had to learn that script, and she had to go to sleep at night. Like, that's deep, man.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Are you going to be checking out the sequel
next week?
Yeah.
I intend to. I don't know when I
can. The sequel to what?
The Shining is called Dr. Sleep.
Oh, that's, for real?
That's the one that's out. Yeah,
the Wowzers Obi, for your
the
trousers.
Dude who played Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor, or whatever.
What?
He's playing Danny.
What?
Yep. Yeah.
You guys are blowing my dome.
Yep.
Pop my hat. You've seen Pop my hat off.
You've seen the commercial, for
wow.
sure.
Wow. Yep. Okay, well, I ain't been up on it. Yeah. Christine was another one when I was growing up. Scared the shit out of me, man.
A lot of the King shit. It wasn't until like the 90s, the King movies kind of became corny and straight to video.
Right.
But like that 1980s, his 1980s catalog.
Yeah, that Christine, man, that car, dude. I mean, and just watching, you know, I mean, hey, as a male, you know what it's like to get behind that steel and that wheel and have that machinery under your control. Sure. So as a guy, to get your first car, and you got this car, and you want it, and you're going to fix it up, and it's going to be this and that, and then the car starts like tripping on you, like changing the radio station, to opening the doors, windshield wipers, lights. The car is alive. You try to go get rid of the car. You wake up and it's back at your house.
Right.
Goodness. You got some homeboys that can get rid of it? Christine Fenders. The Fender will be coming by itself. Yeah, but no, that movie scared. These are movies that just kind of shook me to my core, man, as I was coming up. And, you know, changed my perspective on the way I looked at things, because that's what a director, or producer, the writers, that's what they're showing you. They're just showing you a different perspective. You may have thought of that. You may have not thought of that. You may have looked at things that way. You may have never looked at things that way.
Yeah.
So these are films that kind of just changed the way I looked at things. Like, a car could be alive. Like, a car could have a soul. Like, you know, exactly. That's crazy. Right. Who would think of that, though? Who would bring a car to life? Like, what were you thinking? Like, okay, the car is just going to be alive. The car is going to kill people. Right. The hood's going to close on the mechanic. Like, the car is going to become the killer.
Right.
That's incredible to me, to take an inanimate object like that and then turn that, and then something so normal, you see cars parked on the street every day, driving up and down the Ave, mail trucks, whatever, take an inanimate object, something that we're so accustomed to seeing, and then visually turn that into a killer right before your eyes, and put that in your psyche that this is what's going on. And you didn't know why Christine was killing.
To get to a deeper level where, like, you know, don't fall in love with your vehicle. This shit comes and goes.
Real,
you
know, talk. No, that's, and real talk.
It's just, you know, this is just an
inanimate object. Yes, sir.
And, you know, say, so don't even, you know, these things come and go, you know.
But go back and just think of the irony of that. You know, hey, we're California dreaming, you know, Malibu and Venice. Everybody has cars, the low riders. We have all these cars, these fancy cars, Rolls Royces and limos. Everybody has these cars. Everybody's in love with their car. You got your surfboard hanging on the back, your skis on top. Everybody loves their car. This guy's falling in love with his car, like you said, and then the car literally kills him. So that was just deep to me metaphorically. And because I'm a thinker. So after I think about what I just saw, I'm like, the car and his love for the car and possessing the car and the car being possessed was his demise. It's just deep, man. Right, so sometimes it's not the bloody stuff, and like you were saying, less is more. Sometimes it's not all the over the top. It's just the simple stuff that makes you think and fall deep into your subconscious and your psyche and go, ooh, that scared me. Or that, you know, that's wow. Like your hair standing up on your neck type of deal.
What do you got for 9?
So my 9 is the opposite of The Strangers, where less is more. This is like way more. And it's The Evil Dead 2013.
Awesome.
It's incredible. It's just one of my favorites of all time. I was very skeptical. Like, that's my favorite franchise in horror, is the Evil Dead franchise. I love Ash. Wow. I love the whole, you know, the Necronomicon, all that shit. So I was like, they shouldn't be touching this. I thought it was going to be a 100% remake, when in fact, supposedly, it's like a loose sequel. But when I saw it, and I saw the way that they flipped it, because, you know, like we said, spoilers. So the main girl, Jane Levy, she played, I forgot the name of her character, but she plays like a heroin addict. And they said last time she was trying to get off the stuff, she was wigging out. So when she gets possessed, people at first you just thinking she's wigging out.
Right.
You know what I mean? Wow. And then so we got to stay here for the whole weekend, no matter how crazy shit gets and no matter how crazy she starts acting up, we got to stay here for the whole weekend in this cabin. So it's like you have no choice. And then so when they finally decide, yo, this shit is too much, they go to split. The fucking bridge is, flooded and broken. You know what I'm saying? And then you have no choice at this point. And that's when it gets balls to the wall crazy. Like, it's one of the best shit. I mean, I was ready to hate on it. I was sitting there with my arms crossed. And then slowly I'm like, oh, shit. Ah, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, just sinking my teeth into it. It's incredible. The director, I can't think of his name, Middleman, if you can. He directed another flick right after it a few years later called Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe.
Yeah, these are things that I'm not up on. So that's
you got to peep Don't Breathe. Fetty Alvarez. I know you.
I haven't seen either one of those.
I know Don't Breathe will fuck your head up.
Okay. Fetty Alvarez.
Fetty Alvarez, yes.
I just watched the making of That Evil Dead yesterday here in this room. I love That Evil Dead. He did Don't Breathe right after that. But right. Mia was the chick's name.
Jane Levy, yes. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who was also in Don't
Breathe. Was that the Evil Dead was with the eyeball and the socket thing, right?
Well, that's the Evil Dead, the original ones. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
all I know. Yeah. I don't know nothing else.
Yo, peep Evil Dead 2013 and Don't Breathe. Trust me, you'll thank me later.
Okay,
yo.
Yeah, those definitely. Are official. I love it. What's your genre?
What's your nine?
My nine was Carrie. That scared the
shit.
Scared good the pick, hell out dude. Of me, man.
Great one.
Great that scared pick, the hell dude. Out of me, man. I mean, these are. I mean, at my age, I'm telling you, the movies that touched me. All this technology and different stuff that's come now, they can do a lot of things crazy. With movies now.
Right.
But these are the things that scared me and touched me and as I was growing up, as far as molded me, the things that I could be exposed to. Having a Christian mom who was an evangelist, she didn't let us watch a lot of blood and gore type of deals. But
so you can relate to the mother character.
Of course I can. Okay. Of course I can. At the end of the day, that movie, it just shook me. It was normal. She was a kid. It was school. It was like everything that was familiar to you. Mm-hmm. And then it turned horrible.
Right. Yeah. It's funny because I saw that movie I was waiting for my son to pick him up, and I went to a Big Lots just looking around. And a lot of times, Big Lots has movies like super cheap
right.
but good.
Right.
So I saw Carrie for $3 Blu-rays.
Gotta do it. Shit. Gotta do it.
Watched it, and I watch it all the time, every so often. But it was just like to see it on Blu-ray added another level to it. It's just every time you watch it, some parts are very 1970s sitcom.
Yep, that's true.
And then all of a sudden, it just becomes your worst nightmare.
Yeah, that's okay. True, man.
What you co-sign Carrie?
Yeah, the original. I heard the reboot was not that good.
I never really tried.
Yeah, I already knew it was gonna be whack. I already heard it was gonna be garbage.
It's kind of hard to top a classic. Yeah. So I don't.
There's certain movies you can't touch, like that Psycho remake. That was basura, bro.
Yeah, for sure. Vince Vaughn, right?
Yeah, he was horrible as Norman Bates.
Yeah,
you know, he's like 7 foot. One and he's like, we all go mad a little times and they're like, come on, dude.
Yeah,
and everyone should know it's you. You're that tall. You know what I'm saying? I can't sneak around with shit. I'm 6'5". You're the same height as me. I, you know, you ain't sneaking around nowhere, bro. I know the deal.
Number nine for me is Ridley Scott's Alien.
Mm. Very nice.
Very nice.
And it's tough ranking these
right
as low. You know what I mean? Because these are near and dear to my heart. Right. So when I got to sit here, I spent about 30 minutes on it last night. Right, well, what about this? This could change tomorrow.
Right. My list could, not to cut you, my list can change instantly from, I'm talking about the movies that I already named. These are the 10 that shook me to my core, but they're not in any general order from like literally this is 10. They're just that 1 through 10 is all I can put.
Absolutely.
But I agree with you, man. That she did her thing, man. Oh, she impressed me as an actress.
Right.
Oh yeah, that movie.
Her
incredible.
Range. Yeah. And if you want to talk about the franchise, goodness gracious.
Yeah, but
they took her through so many changes.
Yeah, exactly.
Even bald, she was attractive.
Yeah, that was three.
Because you were into her by then. You were into her as a character, and she was doing what she had to do. Mm-hmm. She was handling that shit.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Matter of fact, that's the Ripley figure behind you. From
where?
The first
that, is that
one.
Oh, man. One or two? That's what's up. One. That's what's up. And look at her, man. Visually stunning. They got her. They got the nose and cheekbones. That whole aura, man. She was a bad lady.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. And it wouldn't be no franchise if it was for number one. Number one was so well done. So the atmosphere was there. You know what I'm saying? And like every little thing from the little fucking cat to like the fact that they surprised the chick with the blood, like that was a legit reaction for
legit.
When the chestburster comes out and the blood squirts on the old girl's face and that was a legit reaction. That shit was incredible.
Yeah,
that shit's timeless. Like you could watch that shit now and because there's a style called 70s slow. That's what I call it. Like a lot of the 70s movies have slow pace, slow, and then it just blows up. And so that's how this Alien is, dude. It just, once it goes, it doesn't stop. It has that slow pace, and then
Well, yeah. I mean, you said it, atmosphere, because obviously that one, you see the alien, the one alien, maybe here and there. But atmosphere in that ship, alone in space, the camaraderie of that group, and one by one they're getting picked off. Just that one there says atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that's my memories of it. Like, right. Damn, it's dark outside all the time. Yep. Right? And something's in our ship.
Yep. And we can't leave.
Right. You can't jump out.
Stuck like
Chuck. Right. Exactly.
That's a scary situation to have to sit there and watch everybody get picked off. Remember the android dude? That freaked me out.
Oh, when he put the book in her mouth?
Yep.
The android guy who wasn't a real guy.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That freaked me out. He was walking around like everybody else. Yep. He was cool, but he was really.
And then he tried to murk her with the book in her mouth.
That was crazy, man.
It's two villains in that movie, if you think about it. You know, you got the android dude.
Sure.
And then you got the alien, you know. So it's, you know, 2-on-1 for poor Ripley.
All right, Spawn, what do you got for 8, man?
All right, for my number 8, it's a personal favorite. I don't know. It's the 80s cheese fest, but it's one of my favorites, so I can't front on you. So I apologize ahead of time. But it's Deadly Friend, directed by Wes Craven. I don't know if any of y'all heard of it. But it was the chick, she was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I can't even think of her name off the top. Middleman, that's all you. And then, but it came out in 86. Christy Swanson.
That's her. I remember.
So her father accidentally kills her. So the boy that loves her is like a super genius. And in the 80s, computers were like magic and shit. So he fucking puts the chip in her head and she becomes like a robot. But the only reason why I like it, it's corny, it's silly, but the only reason I like it, it has the greatest, to me, kill scene in all of horror, where Ma Fratelli, the one who played in the Goonies, the mom, so she's in it, and she is a bitchy neighbor, and the basketball went over her yard. She keeps the basketball, and then so the robot chick goes across the way, grabs that basketball and throws that shit out of her head, and that shit explodes like the fucking Death Star, dude. Shit is crazy. It's one of the best kill scenes ever. And so if you like 80s cheese and, you know, that type of flavor, that a Deadly Friend is all you. Wes Craven directed it, and I dug it. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, Wes Craven was on his shit for a while. I'm not familiar with a lot of his stuff, but I never even heard of that one.
Yeah,
but
yeah, Deadly Friend.
I've heard of Wes Craven. He was bananas.
Oh, yeah. Scream, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Bananas.
What's your 8?
My 8 was Carrie, man. Like I said, I spoke on it. It shook me to my core, man. You said 8, I'm sorry.
Eight?
Yeah, my 8 was Carrie. Yeah, my 8 was Carrie. Shook me to my core, man. Yeah, it was my 8. Yeah.
My 8, and it sucks for me to bring it this low because, you know, this is one of my near and dear ones, The Silence of the Lambs.
Mm. Very nice.
Read the book.
Very nice.
Studied the movie.
Very
vigorously.
Nice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Very nice.
Brilliant.
Yeah. That there is, you know, again, you got a guy, Buffalo Bill, who is out and about doing things, right?
Yep.
Then the other element is you got a guy that's even more brilliant than him behind bars.
Hannibal
who's
Lecter.
Scarier behind bars, then arguably.
He is. Very true.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
And Buffalo Bill.
Scary as fuck. Weird.
To me, that journey between him and Clarice.
Yeah, Jodie Foster did not do a bad job.
No, she was awesome.
She did not do a bad job. As a field agent, she looked great.
Yeah,
you killed
and the kills, too. Remember, they had him at that upstairs in that, what was that, a hotel or something? They had him in that big auditorium.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he murked those two cops.
Yes.
And man, just incredible.
Did he kill somebody with an ink pen or something, too?
He used the ink pen to break out of
the thing, and then he used a knife or whatever.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah,
Incredible.
Oh, right. Another thing about
that
these
dude
movies.
Was sick.
Oh, yeah.
About these movies being your top 10 remote droppers, personal favorites, is the quotableness. And there's nothing more quotable than fucking Silence of the Lambs.
That's
there's
true.
So many quotes.
That's true.
You know, like, you know, put the lotion in the basket
right.
or else he gets mm-hmm. the hose again. You know, Buffalo
Fresh
Bill.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And then even Hannibal, you know.
The Fafa beans.
Yeah.
All that. You're right, man. It's crazy. Yeah. I don't even know if you can call that. Like, I don't even know what you. Do they even put that under horror, or
they try to call it a suspense thriller, but it's bullshit.
Jonathan Demme.
Okay,
this bullshit. Like they try to, you know, like
suspense thriller.
No, but like the Academy Awards and all that shit, try to shit on horror and
blah blah blah.
And so this movie, that's clearly a horror film, they try to fucking make it seem like it's not, when it's the greatest, one of the greatest horror films
right.
of all time.
Oh,
right,
sure.
You know what I'm saying?
So, really good, man. Really good.
Good pick. I like that one. All right, so my number 7 is, to me, the scariest movie of all times, The Exorcist. Yeah, that is the scariest movie. I remember when mom Because I was a big horror kid already at that age. It was I saw it at 87. So mom was like, oh, the Exorcist is going to be on. I'm like, that's just going to be whack. This shit is 1973 graphics and this, that, and the third. My arrogant 11-year-old self thinking I know about horror. She says, all right, baby, watch this shit. So we watched it. I didn't sleep for a fucking week, my dude. All my mother, I didn't sleep for a week. I could not get her face and the voice out of my head. You know what I'm saying? And then I didn't watch it for another 87. I didn't watch it for another 12 years. I didn't watch it till 99.
Right.
And I'm 23 at this time. And still, I didn't sleep for a couple days because it's in my head. It wasn't until recently I was able to really digest to see what a beautiful picture it is.
Right.
Even though the cut that I saw is not the original cut. The cut that I just recently saw and I'm okay with and I watch is the one where she walked backwards. That doesn't do nothing for me.
Yeah.
The one that I wish I could get a cut of the original one that I saw back in 87. The prior to, because this one seems very long and drawn out. The other one that I saw as a kid just set like it was like punching you in your face rapidly with everything, all this filth and this evilness coming out of this little girl's mouth. It just, you know, and now I appreciate what a beautiful movie it is, but the scariness of when I was 11 cannot be, you know what I'm saying? You know, that's the scariest ever. What about you?
Yeah, psychologically, it was pretty crazy. Yeah. It was pretty deep. You just had to. It was the whole possession of it.
Yeah,
and, you know, a film like that, and a film like Poltergeist, stuff like that. That stuff just it gets in you, man. It's a kid. So first of all, it's very relatable. It's a kid, and then you know, Carrie Ann, just all those different things. And back to the one you was talking about, that movie, she's. I don't even know if you call it speaking in tongues, but like they bring it in priests. It's like it's going right. down. She's spitting stuff.
You feel the evil in that movie.
And yeah. It's like the tension in the room that she's in. They got her strapped to the bed.
Yeah.
And she's moving the whole bed.
Yeah.
It's just like that movie's deep, man. Yeah. It'll touch you.
And then she's fucking with the priest. You know what I'm saying? And then so it's not only is it scary, even the priest is like, you know, he's conjuring the dead mother. You know what I'm saying? And then the old priest dies and shit. You know what I'm saying? It's just
it was deep,
intensity.
Man.
I know you
it
got
was
love
intense.
For
it was
oh,
intense.
I got love for it. I got love for it. What do you got for seven? He's seven, right?
Yeah, I'm seven. That was my seven.
That was seven?
Exorcist. Yeah.
Yeah, I covered my seven earlier. Seven was my Texas Chainsaw, man. That thing.
Yeah, that was my six. So okay. What's your yeah. seven?
All right, seven for me is going to be Halloween 2. Oh,
that's my next
go.
One.
There we go. Yeah.
So after you, I'll jump okay. in passenger. Go ahead.
Halloween and Halloween 2, those first two ones, I got a near and dear special relationship with, where to the point I go down there to the filming locations and check everything out and study those, watch the makings of those tons of times. But
right.
two for me became better over time.
Yes.
For me. Okay, because I was just, you know, the first one's my shit.
Right.
Right. So I'm thinking, okay, 2, I wasn't really feeling the score because they switched that up. Right. Over time, that grew. And the mask on that is ridiculous. And that's behind you there, yeah. Spawn. Top
this one right here.
No, next one. No, the one.
This one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's the way it should look.
Right.
Okay, that's a custom Cemetery Gate production. Now, the one to its right as you're looking at it.
With the bloody tears?
Yeah, that's yeah. a Halloween 2 version by Trick or Treat Studios. But the one in the center, though, the Halloween 2 one, that's the way it looked.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
Right. Yeah, this is how I yeah. remember the guy. I yeah. remember him more like this, looking like that.
Yeah, yeah, Urge, and the one you pointed to its left, that's the way the original one
right.
should look.
That's how I remember
the William Shatner
him. That's
face.
How I remember
Absolutely.
Him.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
Now, 2 for me, and I've met Nick Castle.
Wow.
And
wow.
I've met Dick Warlock. Dick Warlock is the one who played him in part 2.
Right.
I met him at a convention. He was more talkative than Nick Castle, but...
Got his autograph.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Dick Warlock came in there, and I thought did a hell of a job moving like Michael. I mean, Nick Castle's going to get more of the credit for
right.
Michael's movement.
Of course.
But I thought the way Warlock came in there and did it in part 2, you can argue that it's pretty close, man.
Right.
It's not that far of a second, if yep. it's even second, you know.
I also want to touch on it. That's my next one on my list as well.
Okay.
Is that I feel that Loomis came out of his shell even more so in that one.
That's a great point. That's a great point.
Yeah.
You know, because you first see him in the first one, even though he was already established by the time he was
right.
in the first movie. But, you know, for kids like me, I'd never heard of him. So by the right. time 2 came out, yeah, he really showed himself mm-hmm. on that one. The kills, you know, it got knocked for being, you know, showing too much. you know, with the scalpel and the needle to the eye. But,
I love
you know,
it
as
though.
A kid,
I love it. I don't give a fuck, son.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, as a kid, it still was traumatizing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So 7 is Halloween 2 for me.
That's my 6. So I'm going to speak on it. I'm gonna piggyback what you're saying. But also, so when I first saw it, it got to be like 82, 83. I was really young, 7, 8. And my mom, we were living in New York, but we went up to Connecticut to visit my uncle, and he had a big house. So it was new to us to be in all this space, you know what I'm saying? Because our apartment was like this. This was our apartment right here, you know what I mean? All right. So all this space and all these little cracks and noises, and I'm thinking to myself, my mom is scared of this movie. If shit goes down, who's going to protect? This is before Goonies and Monster Squad, so kids weren't doing shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So who's going to protect us if shit goes down, if moms is even scared, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, I mean, I just love that. I love 2. That's why I really despised Halloween 2, Rob Zombie's version, because they took the best part and the most claustrophobic part of it being in a hospital away from it and make it a dream sequence, which I hate when movies start off as dream sequences anyway. But just the fact that, you know, the claustrophobicness of I hate hospitals anyway. The sick, the germs are ready.
Me too.
The germs are ready gonna get you. Imagine a Michael Myers motherfucker. And his kills were dope. Like when he put the dude's face in the fucking hot tub. Oh, yeah. Just he was official. And I just, you know, I was kind of hoping they always would go into the Sam Hine thing. Remember they started talking about Sam Hine at the end, and he wrote Sam Hine.
I wasn't feeling that, but go ahead.
Yeah, you weren't feeling that part
at all. But go ahead,
because I thought that's what they were gonna do. What they were trying to tie into for 4 and 5. But I was always curious to see where they were gonna go with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Bye-bye. And then so, but yeah, no. Halloween 2 to me is my favorite of the franchise. Is the first one that I saw probably, so that's why it's my favorite. But it's not the best, but it's my favorite.
See that, and that's a ballsy statement on your part, because you're going to get the purest. Oh, Halloween.
Right.
But I can side with you on that. Right. I mean, for me, the first one is my favorite.
Right.
But I understand why you think, you know, why you have 2 as your favorite.
Right.
You know, so, okay, cool. What do we got next?
You are. 6. You are God. What you got?
My 6 was Psycho, man.
Ooh.
It was just something about it, man. It was just so weird. Shout out to Alfred Hitchcock. It was just so weird and so, I don't know. You think about just go back to the story. There's a hotel. It's out on this road. It's just crazy. This guy, Mother, is in the window. It's like he's talking to Mother. You see him. You see how his mannerisms is. He's kind of nerdy, a little dumpy, a little thin. And he's, you know, he's got this thing with his mom. And there's stuff going on in the hotel. And then there's cops and investigators coming out. And then he's, you know, I don't want to make Mother. You know, it's Mother's angry at me. And it's just like, you are Mother. You're fucking insane. You're bananas. This is crazy. Man. This shit is crazy. The shower sequence. That did it, man. To this day, if my shower curtain, I mean, I've moved into a spot where I have a shower door. But if I had a shower curtain still, like when I go into my kids' bathroom and they have a shower curtain and I'm picking up behind them, man, you should see me snatch that curtain back. Shower curtains freak me out to this day just because of that. Dude, a shower curtain? When I go to a hotel or check in somewhere, if they got a fucking shower curtain, dude, that's one of the first things I check anywhere is the closet and the shower curtain. I don't even give a fuck about under the bed. They got a crawl from under there. Yeah, so I mean, to find out that he's Mother and he's him and he's fucking nuts, he's got some screws loose. Right. It was crazy because for a while, the way it was filmed, it was actually separated to where those two personalities, you actually believed it was a mother, right? Yeah, you actually believed it for a minute until you realized that this motherfucker crazy. It ain't no.
Right.
And sitting in the window. And the parts that freaked you out was like when he was downstairs at the hotel talking to the police, but you can look up in the window and the curtains kind of move. Yep. Maybe it's the fan. Maybe it's the air. But how is the curtains moving when it's a dead lady? And, you know,
because it's all perception, right?
Right.
Maybe that's what you think. Maybe they're showing you what you think you see, right?
Right. So, and that's the best part of horror is when shit like that happens.
You know, maybe. Who was that, Mikey?
No.
Oh, okay. So that was 1960, shot in probably 59.
Right.
That was, I think, scary because that brought these type of things, these killers, to us.
Right.
To hotels.
Yeah.
Where we go rent rooms.
Right.
Off highways that we drive on and cars that we park there. So to me, man, that, and it's black and white.
Right.
So That one ranks on my list as 4, and that hurts to go 4, but that's where it's at right now, 4. And right. I study that. Obviously, I'm sure we've all been to Universal Studios and,
oh, of
and
course.
Been to the house and all that. So, again, the simplicity of that story, you know, mm-hmm. one guy, one dead mother. He was into taxidermy, so it was easy for him to make her. There's mother behind, in between you guys.
Yep, I see
right
it.
There.
I see it.
Hi, mother. You know, these things, they kind of haunt you. Like, this cat kept his mom in the house,
yep.
and she lived through him, didn't want him messing with anybody else, any right. like females or anything right. like that. And, yeah, just to me, it brought it closer to us.
Right, absolutely.
It's almost like he absorbed his mom's personality
yeah.
to keep her alive through death.
Sure.
And then he stuffed her and stuck her up there and then yeah. basically allowed her to live through him. This guy was fucking off his... This guy was like yeah. a couple of bananas short of a split. He was yeah. fucked yeah. off.
My brother could have did that to him. You know,
yeah, she did so much damage. You know, so
psychologically.
Now, when she passes away, how are you going to break that off when right. you had that connection your whole life?
Right. Yeah.
Very true.
She was the only woman in his life for all those years.
Wow.
She passes away, you don't get rid of her, you now all of a sudden you're
yeah, exactly.
Whatever,
right.
Because you need that in your lifestyle.
Wow. Very.
Another thing deep. I want to touch on in yeah. that psycho is the swerve, because you see the main chick, Jamie Lee Curtis's mother.
Janet Leigh,
you see her, you're thinking she's going to be the hero of this whole fucking flick. They gave her a nice little backstory.
Yeah.
And then they have that famous fucking scene where they kill her in the shower that you was talking on. I mean, everyone expected her to be the main chick. You know what I'm saying? They did it later on with Scream with Drew Barrymore. Yeah, same thing. Stuff like that is what I like, is when you think it's going to be this motherfucker and it's someone else. Yeah. You know, and same thing with Alien, because you're looking at the cast, you probably think a dude with the beard mm-hmm. is going to be the hero of this movie, mm-hmm. and you see Ripley and she ends up being the hero.
Right.
You know, so little things like that, nuances.
And, yeah, I and like. That's by design. That, you know, on the making of Psycho, they touch on that, bringing in Janet Leigh and killing her off early. You know, Ken, as a writer, he talked about it, Joe Stefano, I think his name was, he talked about, well, how the challenge is going to be, we kill off the star. How can I get you guys to care about the rest of these people in the movie? You
right.
know? And obviously it was a huge success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's next? What are we on? Six, right? I got to say my six, which is Predator.
Oh, great pick.
Predator.
Yep, great pick. Another quotable movie.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, 1987, great movie. Again, it's camaraderie in the jungle. You got some badass soldiers who aren't that bad anymore. When this predator just comes down and hunts them, mm-hmm. right? And one by one, they're getting picked off, right? And how do you survive in this jungle against this creature that you can't see most of the time when he's cloaked out?
So dope.
Camouflaged.
Yeah,
so dope.
Exactly,
so
man,
sick.
Right? So,
he could be right in front of you on a tree or on a branch mm-hmm. or hanging in some leaves or in some bushes,
sure.
and you're going to walk right past him and allow him to put his hand out and cut your throat without mm-hmm. but you even knowing him.
Yep.
You don't even know he's there.
Right.
Stupid.
Right. And as a kid, yes. I loved it. I mean, all these resonate. These movies, a lot of these resonate because I remember watching them with my dad as a kid,
yep.
man.
At the theater. You know? I saw
oh,
it.
For sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. That's another one that's super. You drop the remote every time that shit's on.
For sure.
I had the VHS, DVD, and Blu-ray. If that shit's on HBO, I'm dropping the remote. You know, and then, you know, all the lines, my man Bill Duke.
Oh, you
know,
yeah.
saying, I'm going to bleed you. You know, come on. And he's like, you know, talking to the Predator. You're gonna,
yep.
you know, and then Arnold, go to the chopper, do it. You know.
No, it was good.
Kill
man.
Me.
It was a good movie, man. Yeah. I like when one of my favorite scenes was when they started to kind of realize how to fight him back, and you see the scene. I like the scene where Arnold's stretched
in
that
mud.
Little ravine with the wood and all that stuff. He's got all the stuff all over him,
right.
and he's kind of like posted up. And now he's playing the game back. Yep. He just sitting still, waiting to see what move out there.
Right.
He just waiting.
Yep.
Right.
You know what I mean? Now
yep.
he playing the game like yep. he's doing what Predator was doing to them.
Yep.
Back to them, mm-hmm. not running around so gung ho, but just finding a spot,
yep.
camouflaging up,
right.
posting up. And waiting and yep. looking at yep. everything that move out there, every sound you hear.
Yep.
You know, he turned his game kind of against him. But yeah, yeah man, that yeah, movie was deep, man.
That
movie was deep.
Best, yeah. Out of the whole franchise, that's still the best one out of all of them. I was kind of hoping at the last scene of 2017 or whatever.
I haven't watched no more.
Okay. So.
You can go ahead and get on that.
Yeah. I just wish that at the end, Arnold had showed up, because that would have saved that movie even a little bit, I think. You know what I'm saying? Because when I first saw it, I was into it, the 2000, whatever it was.
Like last year.
Predators,
yeah.
18. And I was like, yeah, this just going to be fire. And then eventually, I was just like, this is, when I rewatched it, I was like, this is straight garbage.
It's like a comedy.
It was like a kid writing it. Like a kid play, like my son when he used to play with his toys, and that's what the dialogue seemed like.
Well, you know who was behind it, right?
Yeah, the same one who wrote the original, which was crazy.
Yeah, and he tried to make it like his character in the original.
Yeah,
funny.
Yeah, he was the one that was doing all the bad jokes.
That was not cool.
Yeah.
Nah.
I didn't even really peep it. I just saw bits and pieces. Not
Predator,
cool.
It was called, yeah.
Not cool. Yeah, that's they're talking about the brand new one.
Yeah. Brand new one. I was a little disappointed, but had never Arnold showed up, though, I think it could have saved it.
Could have helped it.
I would never go back, man. I don't know why it is, but when they try to remake those things, it's just like, are you serious? You can't top a classic? Nah. Fuck out of here.
But the one they did one where they're on the Predator's planet, that one was dope.
Predators, Adrian Brody.
Oh, now I saw Predators. I saw that. But I didn't see a Predator. With a R, singular.
That was dope.
That was
the Predators that recently was cool. That was Lawrence hella Fishburne cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hella cool.
He murked one of them, right? And took his mask. Yeah.
Very nice.
What are we on? 5? All
right. So my number 5 was Texas Chain. We already went. So I'm going to jump to my 4. My 4 spot, in which is Friday the 13th, part 4, final chapter.
Final chapter.
The main 3 are my dudes. So sometimes my main one is Freddy, and then, you know, another day I wake up, Jason will be my main dude. Another day it'll be Michael. But I love all 3 of the main
for sure.
Trinity, right? So, but my favorite one out of the whole original was that Friday the 13th part 4. Corey Feldman kills him. Yep. Mm-hmm. And it's just an incredible, I mean, his kills are the truth. He's really fully invested into the hockey mask at this point because he didn't get it to part 3.
Yeah.
And he's just... it's just grimy. He's killing motherfuckers. And then when Corey Feldman tricks him, and the way he was killing it, like when he was stabbing Jason, and you could tell that, like you said, the damage is being done. The damage is being done to the main character, and the transformation is there. Had they, you know, moved on with it, it would have been a little bit better for like 5, 6, 7, whatever. But 4, though, man, that shit is the perfect Friday the 13th movie. Had the zany characters like Marty McFly's dad's in it, and he can't dance.
Yeah, I remember that.
And then
that.
The kid from The Last American Virgin, he's in it. So it's just the best, I think, in my opinion, the best out of the whole franchise is part 4, final chapter.
Okay.
Wow, man. Yeah. Okay, my number my number 5, because that's where I was, would have been, and I'm going to go off script, a movie is a movie to me, whether it's on television or the big screen. There was this thing I saw called Trilogy of Terror. It's cheese. It's a big block of government cheese, but it scared the fuck out of me, man. Yeah. Some scientist, philanthropist, whatever she was, goes off and goes on a, you know, expedition. She brings back this little tiki type of little doll. He's got a little stabby thing. He looks like a little African voodoo doll, and he's got a little stabby thing with this crazy hair.
Oh, yes, yes, I've seen this shit.
She brings it home, and she sets it down, like, in the house, and then this shit, something happens, and the motherfucker come alive and start chasing the bitch around the house and killing her and stabbing her up. Trilogy of Terror. This shit,
81.
Dude, scared. I'm talking about to my core. If movies didn't hit me like this, where, like, I'm talking right now, and the hair are standing up across my shit.
I co-sign that one.
Dude, I got goosebumps if the camera could see. The hairs are standing up on my arm even just remembering it.
79 to 81
If a movie doesn't do that to me, man, then it didn't touch me, and it didn't get into my 10. I like stuff that freaks me out and touch me, not just entertain me. Don't entertain me. If it's a horror movie, I want you to scare the shit out of me. Show me something I haven't seen. Have me imagine something I haven't imagined, and then let it all be real to me in my mind as I experienced it with you, and I'm fucking scared. That movie was sick.
That movie, I co-signed that movie. 1975, okay. Now, see 79.
How old, see how old that was? Go, keep going.
Yeah, Trilogy of Terror, let's see, it was directed by, my bad, I didn't have that up.
Are you doing that real quick? That movie's I'm telling you.
I haven't seen it.
Check it out. It's really creepy, man.
I think it was made
Jane
for TV,
Curtis?
Like a Halloween special.
Dan Curtis.
I think it was like a Halloween special made for TV.
Yeah.
And it's incredible. And
it
it's
was
like
so scary.
The little
dude.
Tiki doll is the one. All right, so you know how, like, the movie Trick or Treat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Sam.
So you know how he's Sam is the standout character of that?
Yeah.
That's how that little Tiki doll is for that particular movie.
Okay.
And it started off as just nothing. Wowzers. Something she picked up on an expedition.
Look at that motherfucker.
Please show it to him again. And she sets it down in the house, and something happens. She's in her apartment. She's safe. She's home.
Yep.
This thing is just like these inanimate objects. These are just things. Okay. So she comes alive and starts stabbing and shooting at that size still. And you can't throw her, burn her, stick her in a microwave, throw her in the oven, put her in the trash can, put her in the garbage disposal. You're running for your life in your own house from a
inanimate object
that's moving. That basically came alive. So yeah, that thing scared. Crazy. It just shook me, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like years. This is like what, 13 years prior to Chucky. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Right. So something that small coming after you trying to kill you, you look at this doll like okay, or this mask, that's not a threat. But if this mask came alive, then that, you know, that's a different deal. So this little doll that was an inanimate object with a little bitty spear, he's alive and he's chasing you through your house. You don't think that you're gonna die. Right. This dude's stabbing the shit out you 16 times in your foot, and you like, ow, get off me. And it's like you something so menacing, like maybe a vicious dog, something that you just can't get away from.
Wow, man.
That's what this thing was. And it, as for me seeing it, what was the year again?
75.
Come on, man. I was born in 68, so I hadn't even been alive that long. 75. That shit scared the hell out of me. I wasn't alive long enough to know that couldn't happen, or it wasn't true, or you couldn't go on an expedition and bring something back that was haunted or that had a spirit in it. So this was the first time that I had actually experienced possession in a film.
Wow. Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. Aliens is my five. Loved Aliens. Studied that one again. When I edit, which is probably every day, I put on a lot of making of. I might not even watch it. I'll just have it here.
Right.
And I absorb all that, man. Mm. Aliens is one of those ones too.
Yes.
Where it's just like,
yes.
This is how they had 13 guys running the Queen Alien. You know what I mean? Like
that's fucking huge, amazing.
I think it was more than 13. You know, I take it back. It might have been like 40 guys total. But anyways, it was this huge alien queen. That was just animatronic, man.
Yeah, that's when it's my favorite.
Right.
Is when it's like, you know, I'm CGI is it ages badly, but fucking what's the word I'm looking for? Practical effects, they are timeless.
Shit. Yep. Like all the Star Wars stuff, right? New Hope, all that shit was great. But no, Aliens is another one, man. They just come in there and you know, Ripley was just she didn't want to go back. But she got drawn back in there and she ends up surviving past all these badass soldiers, man.
She had already had experience too. She already kind of knew what she was up against, and
she knew
she didn't really want to deal with that thing. But she knew that as far as qualification wise, nobody else is qualified to deal with that. Mm-hmm. I don't care how badass they were; they hadn't seen it.
Right?
She saw it, and she had survived the first time.
They didn't want to listen to her.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and then another one, quotables. You know what I'm saying? So many quotables. Game over, man. You know, you just got an ass kick, man. Yeah.
Of course.
You know, like just so many quotables. Mm-hmm. That's another remote dropper. That's in my top 10 favorite movies of all time, period. All genre.
Right.
Is Aliens. I could watch that any time of the day, probably every day of the week.
I just think it was
so dope. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I think it was so many levels to Sigourney Weaver fighting and dealing with this threat. One of the things that I remember, and I don't remember all of my stuff runs together. It's a blur. I couldn't tell you which one. I just remember that she goes to get into this machine.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this big yellow machine.
Yep.
She puts this thing on and she gets in this cage and she sets this animatronic thing up and she's like, I'm about to let your motherfucking ass have it.
Right. Yep.
And I just remember that being powerful. Like, oh, shit.
Yep. Exactly.
Hey, you like the scene from Last Dragon? Playtime is over, boy. It's like playtime was over when she got up in that thing, because she knew the threat of the alien and she looked at her like you said, get away from her, you bitch. Yep. And she was getting ready to do damage with that thing. And guess what? Even in that harness and that whole situation, she still wasn't 100% as far as being able to fight the thing and stop it. She was still in for a challenge, even in that suit. Imagine without it.
Yep, and not only that, it was her maternal. It was like a maternal
thing. Yes, it was.
She had the little baby.
Yes,
knew.
It was.
So she protected my baby.
Of course,
protected my baby.
Of course,
any mother would do that.
And now any mother would do that. And allow
even
me,
though if you think about it, the ironic part is the queen was pissed because they was killing her baby.
I was just about to say the same thing. I was about to say it's the same thing. Yep. They were both doing the same thing. Yep.
So
different
two moms at a soccer game pissed off at each other.
And they was going in because they was murdering those alien pods when they was finally burning the fuck out of them.
Yes, she was.
And so, she was killing her kids, and then the alien was after her with the kid, and then she just kind of like mommed up like, nah, you ain't touching this one. You're going to have to come through me.
Right.
And I just think that was so badass.
Hell yeah.
What are we on, four?
So I already did my four, so I'm going to go with my three. And my three is one of my favorite horror flicks. And like, I do this thing in my house. every Halloween. It's called Serial Killer Saturday. So it's like we break out like the old school Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry, and then we watch horror flicks with killers and shit, right? So one of my go-to flicks I always choose, and it always gets like the group of people I have around rocking, is called Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, yeah,
Felicia Sleepaway Rose, Camp, right? Yeah. Yes, Felicia Rose, who looks incredible now. Not so much at the last scene of the movie, but right. It's one of the most incredible. The acting is not great, but it's so raw and so real that it kind of supersedes acting. You know what I'm saying? Because you feel like you know. I went to Sleepaway Camp back east, and it was that's the most identical one. These were all kids. It wasn't like no 30-year-old playing a 17-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Like in the Friday the 13th movies and shit like that. And it was very palpable. And like the practical effects fuck with me to this day. Like there's a scene where she kills this pedophile dude. In the kitchen, she pours a boiling pot of water on dude, and you see the pus and the bubbling of his face. I'm like, this is 82, and the shit looks that good, and it still looks good.
Yeah.
And then like the swerve, this one I'm not gonna give the spoiler on, but the swerve at the end. So many movies owe money to Sleepaway Camp for the swerve at the end, because it's just so like, just like I could think of like 10 movies that owe loot to Sleepaway Camp because the ending is so iconic. I remember at 11 years old when I saw it, it blew my fucking mind. I'm like, what the fuck? And so that's you know, like I have buddies that like, oh, I'm a big horror guy. Oh yeah, have you seen Sleepaway Camp? They're like, oh well, nah, don't even talk to me, boy. You know what I'm saying? You ain't on my level, son. Sleepaway Camp is one of those. It's just one of those little gems.
I vaguely remember it, but I'm gonna have to like, go back like and Mike watch. Said, I gotta refresh myself.
Refresh. I recommend it.
20 minutes in, I'll be like, oh yeah. But I mean, but I have to refresh.
The thing about
myself.
It is that nowadays with the trans and like the whole what's the word I'm looking for, like the transgender community and like the community that doesn't really identify with a certain what they're born with or whatever.
Yeah.
This movie's more palpable for them than it's ever been, to the point where the character Angela is almost iconic in that community.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? For the horror ones that like it. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? The movie's timeless. I recommend anyone, if you ain't seen Sleepaway Camp, go out your way to see it. I think it's on this thing called Tubi. It's a free download. They ain't paying us. I just want y'all to see it. Sleepaway Camp is that dope. In some parts are cheesy. 80, it's that 80s cheese. I apologize, but the payoff pays off in dividends.
That's mark what's up, words. Man. I have to bring some toast for that cheese and check that shit out.
Bring some wine with
me
it.
Some cheese toast and just go on and watch that motherfucker. Yeah, so my four was already done with The Shining, so I'll do my three, which I'd already kind of just put out there, which was Pet Sematary, man. Just kind of, I don't know, I got a soft spot for pets. I had dogs, I had cats and rabbits, I had bird, I had at least one cat before, but I was really a dog guy. But yeah, man, I guess, you know, I buried a couple of pets, so in that aspect, it was relatable to me. I had a dog, a family pet, and wanted to go to a party across the street that we weren't really invited to, me and my brother, but all the kids were out in the yard and they were playing, and my mom was like, yeah, you guys don't need to go, you weren't invited. But we was kept pushing the issue, so when we finally got waved over, we ran across the street and our dog ran with us, and he got hit by a car, and we had to bury him in the backyard. So when I watched like Pet Sematary, a lot of emotional stuff came up from losing, right, like flushing fish, the bird died, and you know, the dog got hit, stuff like that. And it just kind of, I guess I kind of, it kind of, the film resonated with me of kind of wanting that pet back, and then what you would go through to do it, and then seeing what happened when they actually tried to put that in effect. So that thing scared the shit out of me.
For sure.
Oh yeah, that I want to speak on that one too, because that one, Zelda, the
Stephen
sister,
King, right?
Yeah, Stephen King, the sister is what scared me the most.
Right.
Like the some with girls in 90s that scared the fuck out of me, from The Exorcist to Pet Sematary. I mean, she was, I didn't realize this till later on, it was a dude who played Zelda.
Is that right?
Yeah, some guy played Zelda. Check it out. In the original Pet Sematary, 89 or 88 or whatever.
Jeez Louise.
It was a dude that played it.
That's crazy. I didn't even realize it.
Yeah, but it was so scary. That part scared me the most of the movie. But the remake of that one is absolute garbage.
That's what I heard, never, man. Go. I would never waste my time.
You know why? Because, okay, so the guy who played Fred Munster, I can't remember his name.
I know him.
Lithgow played him in this one, right? John Lithgow.
Yeah, John Lithgow, which you on paper would be better.
Right.
But it wasn't. You know, when he goes, sometimes dead is better. The way he says it is a lot better than John Lithgow's.
Right.
And it's just a better atmosphere. It just felt creepier in the
80s.
Yeah. It's just, that movie is a great pick.
Yeah, great man. Pick. It just...
And,
It looks like it was Andrew.
Andrew something another.
Wow, that's crazy. Yes. So the guy played the character of the girl.
Yeah.
And you're just now punching me with that. And that's like a straight uppercut. Yeah. I'm going to have to watch it again just to see his performance now.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, his her performance.
Yeah.
For three, I have. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Poltergeist.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Good one. Yeah. Been there. Yeah. Been to that house plenty of times. Stalked that house.
I just recently watched this not too long ago, and it's still incredible.
Right? It can be a little cheesy now, but I love it all.
It's just the unknown. It's just the unknown. You know, that you see that static on the screen, and it's just like...
Like she's in there.
Where could that take you? Yeah, where would you be? Imagine how many channels it is. I mean, if you start getting stupid with it.
Back then it was only 13.
Okay, well she could be on one of 12 channels. That's still scary because it's not just going to one channel. It's like she's in here, let's go in. So where do you even start the search if there's 13 channels? That's like 13 portholes. I don't even understand how the hole worked or how she fell in there, and then they could still hear her in the house, and they're bringing all these experts and they could hear her voice, and then they're just trying to tie rope to go in so they can get back because they know, well, if she's in there and she can't find her way out, if I go in without a way out, I won't even be able to get her right. Yeah, so they're tying rope and they're trying to figure it out. And it's just, if you allow yourself to be pulled into the story, it's fucking frightening.
That's another one that resonated with me, man, because as a kid, I live with my family.
Right.
Right. And so I'm watching this family in a house kind of like ours. You know, ours wasn't that big, but I mean, watching TV, and then you know your sibling's gone in the TV somewhere. So you know that movie frightened me, man.
Right, absolutely. The clown in it,
legitimately.
Now let me ask you this: as a director, now who do you think did most of the direction work? It's always been disputed: Toby Hooper, or Steven Spielberg.
Toby Hooper got the directing credit,
right? But like, if you look at the movie, it seems, it smells, feels like a total Spielberg's movie.
Yeah, because of the family orientation and some of the
music.
The music. I'm going to give it to Toby, though. I think Spielberg had a strong hand in it.
Right.
But as a director, I would like to think...
Toby was the guy.
Toby
who did Texas Chainsaw.
Yes, he did. Yep.
Incredible stuff, man. Good stuff.
You know, but you can feel the Spielberg in it for sure.
Okay.
You know, just with the family element. You know, it had some E.T. elements, too. It had definitely big E.T. elements.
It almost seemed like it was the neighborhood over. You know what I mean?
Sure did.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did, man.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It seemed like it could have been right up the street.
Blocks down the street. Like
right
shit.
Up the street.
So and so was, you know, has his, you know, sister was taken by demons.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Well, we have an alien on our block. You know what I'm saying? So exactly, it's just, you know, one of those things.
Just, you know, the opening scene where the guy on the bike brings the beer over, right? And just walks into the house. It felt homely and cozy, you know, and then
familiar.
Until it didn't, right? Until it was nighttime and shit popped off, you know? And, that just resonated. The house, everything was built on the graveyard that was there, right? So they took the tombstone.
You didn't remove the bodies.
Come on, man. That's stuff to scare. He just scared me when he said that.
Love me some Poltergeist, dude.
Yep. You took the tombstones, didn't remove the bodies. All right. So my number two is A Nightmare on Elm Street 3 Dream Warriors. Dude, it's my favorite one of the whole franchise.
Now, is that the one where all the teens were together and they were trying not to fall asleep and trying to keep each other awake and trying to go in the dream and fight Freddy?
Yes.
I got it.
Saw and then young Lawrence Fishburne, Patricia Arquette's in it.
Yep.
It's just incredible. I met most of the cast except for Robert Englund and the one who played Nancy. But it's my favorite one. So many good memories with that movie as well, but just... As far as the movie goes, Robert Englund is in that fine space where he's sarcastic as fuck, still scary. Mm-hmm. He wasn't too overly corny.
Right.
He wasn't too overly cheesy like he would get like in 5 and 6. He was still like evil at this point. He wasn't funny. It wasn't like a horror comedy. This was right there, that fine line. After this, people wanted him to be more funny, unfortunately. But this, I mean, if they had just stayed in this lane... For the whole rest of the franchise, it would have a whole new thing. It wouldn't be a three-way argument. It'd be like a one or two argument in terms of the first one.
I kind of believe that they started the humor to lighten up the gore.
Right, and that's understandable.
You know,
but,
and it was almost like the director, not to cut you, but the director or producer, the writers. You know those things where, okay, let's go, Schwarzenegger. I'll be back. You know, just those, they wanted to give him some punchlines and some
punches,
different stuff. So what it was they just kind of went towards comedy.
Right.
I feel like that took away from it, from his character.
That's fair.
From being as menacing. Right. I mean, you know, it's cool to have a joke like, you know, right. see you later or something yeah. when you're killing right, somebody. Right, yeah. But just not over the top and not right. too
that's
cheap.
That's why I
not
feel
too,
that part three cheese. Is that perfect line that he was in. You know what I'm saying?
Where it wasn't he's like, too much cheese.
It was the cheese. The lines were funny. Like he picks up the chick and he goes, here's your big break in TV. prime time, bitch.
Right.
And she gets all shook love up.
Love it. Love
you
it.
You know, or what's the matter, Joey, feeling tongue-tied, and the dude's, you know...
That's the good stuff. Yeah, those are the good ones. But what I'm saying, you know, later when they wanted to be a comedian...
Like, yeah, when he got corny, like when he's playing the video game in part six, he's like, oh, great graphics. You know, shit like that, just when they got real cornball.
Right.
But this is that fine line. And not only that, the cast was really good. The characters, you believe, you wanted them to succeed.
Yeah, you wanted them to survive. You know? You did. And you were sad when they...
Oh, matter of fact, Kincaid, the first black character to live...
Through the horror movie.
Through the horror movie and make it to the sequel.
Yep,
is that right?
Yep, yes, because the one from Night of the Living Dead, he got killed at the end. And then the two at the end. Oh, no. I'm lying. Wait, no. Which one came out? Actually, I'm lying. The one from Friday the 13th, Part 5, Dudley from Different Strokes.
Yeah.
He survived. So.
Yeah. Okay.
But Kincaid was one of the first, and he came back. Only thing is Kincaid got killed in Part 4, like in the first 10 minutes. You know, say, hey, y'all, I'm Kincaid. I'm back.
They had enough of him by then anyway. Yeah.
The thing is that I used to think Kincaid was like this hard thug, like, you know what I'm saying? At 10 years old, and he's like, now I watch it, he's like, Kruger! I'm
right.
like, oh, dad, right. I'm gonna whip your ass, Kruger! You know, like, you sound like Chris Tucker.
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, now Dream Warriors, and it has the best song of a rock hair band song, Dockin'. Dream Warriors! I love that song. Okay.
So, New Line Cinema, if you want to clear that sample for me so I can put my Dream Warriors
exactly. Exactly. You are God. Man. What you got? What's your number two?
My number two, man, was Pinhead and you know the Hellraiser, the whole Hellraisers, the franchise.
Ooh, that
man.
Part one.
All of them. One did it, but like, you know, they had a couple of more. I don't know how many total, but every one of them that I seen, I was still fucking like, this is some bullshit. You know, watching that little cube and, it's Pandora's box. And once so you genius. Open it, you can't close it. And the way the box moves and, you know, kind of slight. It's just like, it's really.
We will
it
tear your soul
freaks
apart.
Freaks you out, dude. The chains, the way they put the chains in you and then they pull the chains apart. It was too much, man. Mentally, you have to be like an unstable person couldn't watch these films, dude. They do something to you. I'm telling you. I believe that psychologically.
Good, I've been watching them shits for years. So.
That's why you a banana split. But at the end of the day, yeah, that movie was like the franchise. It wasn't just one of them. Like when I talked about Phantasm earlier with the tall man,
right.
It was just the funeral home, the tall man, the black suit. It's just the mystery of it. It's more psychological. But then when you start getting into the gore and the other stuff that happens, that stuff pays off too. And the Hellraiser series for me, just why they existed, their seriousness. Like when you see Pinhead, and he's all pale with these nails. It was just a lot, man.
Yo, let me speak on that real quick. So when I first saw Hellraiser 87, 88, whatever, I hated it. Let me tell you why. Because I was expecting Freddy. I was expecting Michael Myers. I was expecting Jason. My 11-year-old, 12-year-old brain wasn't on that level yet.
Right.
The story that they told, I didn't really get into it till much later. And when I sat down and rewatched it, that shit is deep as fuck, yo.
Blew my mind, man.
Yeah, and it's just so dope. It's incredible. One and two. The other ones, I can't really fuck with.
Yeah, one and two.
One
I
and
check.
Two are just
one and two
perfection to me.
Yeah.
You like the, you mess with those? I don't see any.
No, I never got. I've seen the original, but I was young, man.
Rewatch
it. I gotta revisit.
Mark my words.
Yeah, if you watch it,
money.
If you watch it and you really allow yourself to get pulled into the story, when it goes off, dude, you'll go straight to two. You know why? Because you don't want one to end, but it's over.
Yeah.
So you'll have to. You gotta.
Yeah,
you want
one
more.
And two are money. Trust me.
The only reason they make a two is to give you more of what you loved,
right.
And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah. The other ones short. I can't really co-sign, but.
I was in an elevator with that cat that played on one of the conventions.
Doug Bradley.
Yep.
What's your two?
Two is going to be Halloween 1978.
Mm. Original.
You know, I probably said enough about it. We don't need to get too deep into it. But again, less is more.
Right.
What they did with the money that they had.
Absolutely.
And blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've covered this a bunch of times, so I'm not even going
to
get
it. The reason it's a masterpiece, though, is just what you're saying, because they had to do what they had to do. They didn't have certain technologies that availed them. They didn't have certain, you know, other things. And they worked with what they had to make the best thing that they could, the best product that they could make. And guess what? At the end of the day, when people went to go sit down and watch that movie, it was worth the popcorn, nachos, the hot dog. It was worth it, man. It you left that theater with something. You left it feeling like you gained something.
Yo, Mike, so Have you heard of, there's a thing online, someone had recorded, did an audio recording of the audience to hear their response of Halloween. So they recorded the audience from 1978, actual recording. Wow. And so when Michael does the little sit up like the Undertaker and shit, and does the little head turn, you hear the fucking crowd going crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wish I was alive for that, to watch that movie in the theater. I wish I was there to see that shit in the theater alive, because I was like 2 at the time, so I was the baby. So that's one of the ones I wish I had, like a DeLorean to go watch, because especially the scene where you see Jamie Lee Curtis and she's like staggering around, and then you slowly see Mike's face.
Yeah,
Michael
coming Myers into the face. Back, coming into the back. Woo! Yep,
that shit is incredible.
It's deep, man.
Yeah, it's
deep.
Yeah, Michael Myers definitely the OG of the whole.
Some of the things that have just shaken us to our core as far as visually that you can watch and then you can take in. Because when you're taking that in, it's what Michael talked about earlier. The music, the cinematography, right. what you're seeing visually. The music is bringing different emotions right. into it.
And oh, then the music actors, is the character
cast,
itself.
You spoke on the cast. The yeah. cast has to be believable, but, strong. Yeah, you have to want them to make it.
Let's get back to that music. Yeah. That music is a character itself in
of
that
course
shit.
It is.
That
of course. Of course,
you know what I'm saying? So, what's his name? John Carpenter showed the movie completed, right, to one of the big wigs, and they were not feeling Halloween at all. They thought it was dog shit.
Right.
Then a few weeks later, he came back with the music.
And it was over.
Yep.
It was a wrap. When you hear that music, it's something going on.
When I used to
dude.
Watch, like I was telling you, we stay up to watch some horror right. movies right. Or shows,
right.
like in the 80s and shit, and right. like Halloween 4 is about to come out,
right.
and I hear the music, I lower the TV. Because yeah. I used to get so scared of the fucking music.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
even though it wasn't the same exact one from 78.
Nah.
But right. the music itself is still ominous.
The piano,
sure.
that piano and that bass line, with that bass line's doing.
I remember
under
when
that
I heard
piano.
Ice-T rhyme over it. Sick, in man. Like 91 or whatever. Yeah. I forgot what the name of that song was.
Yeah, me too.
And then years later, Dre did it. But that, you know, that beat is ridiculous. I love that beat. So that's an amazing pick. So before I go, my number one, I'll do some honorable mentions right quick. I like the Rob Zombie ones, House of a Thousand, Devil's Rejects, Three from Hell. I just saw it last week, so I haven't really had a chance to really process it.
House of a Thousand, saw it. Three from Hell, no. Keep going.
Okay. And then Night of the Living Dead, 1968. Mm-hmm. Incredible. They're Coming for You, Barbara. Classic. And the remake, which is rare that the remake's good.
I haven't seen it.
It's good. It came out in 1990. Tom Savini actually directed it.
I have to check it out.
And then Dawn of the Dead, the original, incredible. And the remake is incredible, which is rare. And then I like the whole Conjuring universe.
Oh, yeah.
This one, some of the 80s cheese that I like, The Burning from 1981, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sleep on that one. My man, what's his name? John Costanza's in it. Mm. And he actually has hair from Seinfeld.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, yeah. Maniac, I think it's in 81, 82. The dude from, that was Rocky's, Rocky worked for him. The one that was like, yeah, you know, Rocky, you look like a bum. The when he was breaking fingers and shit.
Yeah,
he was, like, I told you to break his fingers, Rock.
Yeah, he was a collection. He was a collection.
Yeah, that dude.
Okay, gotcha.
He plays a character called Frank Zito. And he is the first time the killer is the main character. And, you know, you don't see the movie. I mean, you kind of see the movie. You see the movie through Michael Myers' eyes. But this whole thing is Zito's journey as a killer.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I recommend Maniac. The remake with Elijah Wood is but the original 1980, yo, it's brutal. He's killing bitches. I mean, sorry, but I mean, he's just brutal. Like, he's just a horrible human being, and he kind of gets his, you know what I'm saying, but it's dope. Terrifier came out 2017, 18.
They're doing the second one.
Yeah, that's doing the second one.
I'm unaware.
Yo, peep that one, dude. That shit, not a lot of new movies. I have to, like, take a break in between. I'm like, damn, yo, this shit's kind of wearing at me. And kind of like disturbing at my age, because I've seen it all.
There's, you know, no explanation or nothing.
No explanation.
Fuck it.
And he's a killer. So don't let the fact that he's a clown fool you. He's not trying to be it. He's in a whole different time zone than Pennywise. You know what I'm saying? And he is brutal. He makes it look like a killer on like Channel 13 movie. Like, he makes it look like a kid. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's brutal killer. Terrifier,
wow.
Yo.
Wow, I'm going to have to check it out. I never
it's
heard
on
of it.
Netflix.
Never heard of him, man.
And then, you know, the Jordan Peele flicks I'm feeling. I right. really like his vision. So my number one, and that with that being said, is Evil Dead 2. Like I said earlier, that's my favorite franchise. That's the one you was talking about with the eyeball pop out.
Right.
Yeah.
Ash Williams is my favorite horror character, or hero. Bruce Campbell's genius in it. A lot of the movies they filmed backwards. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you ever watched the making of that one.
No.
You got to see it, dude. I know you'll dig it. The way they, the ingenuity that they used to make that movie come about, him filming it backwards. So a lot of the times where he's getting his ass whipped by the things and, you know, the hand getting chopped off, that's all him acting backwards. And then they flip forward. It. Yeah. Okay. Just incredible, dude. Just so good. Evil Dead, I could watch it any day of the week. I've watched it so many times. I show the kids and I'm thinking they're going to be scared and they just laugh and, you know, which is, you know, it's a horror comedy at this point. The first one was straight up horror. The second one is where he went into the comedy and I was okay with it.
Okay.
So Evil Dead 2 is my shit. But my number one of all times. What's yours?
My number one, man, I'm going to stick with my Phantasm, man. The tall man and that orb, right. It scared the hell out of me, man. The whole franchise, mm-hmm. though. And I don't even have to speak mm-hmm. on it. You guys go watch it if you haven't seen it. If you're unaware of the tall man. Now, I know with today's technology and the, you know, the cinematography and all the effects and stuff after movies and the stuff they put in post and all that stuff, it's just like, it may not compare to some of the stuff you see now visually because they're showing so much. But if you put yourself, allow yourself to be absorbed into the film, and just watch it from beginning to end, it will be some stuff in there that will be very disturbing when you see the little boy, when you see the tall man, when you see the funeral home, the black suit, the orb, just everything that's going on. But you have to allow yourself to get into the story. If you do that, you'll get the payoff, man. And I've only gone as far as two, but I've heard that the entire franchise was stupid. And because I like it, I didn't really want to go and watch those other ones and feel different.
I heard good things about the last one,
but part five. But sometimes I save these things. I do a lot as an artist myself, and sometimes when I'm creating art, I don't want to absorb certain things, so I wait. But it's gonna come a time, maybe even before the end of this year, that I pull up a few things and just you know, go ahead and complete what you would call the franchise of it. Because if you saw one and two and they made other ones, you should kind of just kind of see where they took the story, see if you're still following them, and see if you still love it as much as you did when it started.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard good things about the part five. It was the dude's last movie, the tall man.
He died.
He just died, a few years ago.
I heard about it.
And but yeah, I heard he went out with a bang. So
I'm going to check him out.
Cool.
Even though there was a spoiler earlier, what's your number one?
Yeah, Jaws. I've covered it. Again, it's a... those things resonate. This movie resonates with me just growing up and just memories of it. And, you know, the making of it. I went to Martha's Vineyard last year to a lot of the filming locations of Jaws. I mean, that's how much I love it and appreciate it, you know what I mean, and what they went through to shoot that, you know.
If you ever watch the making of, it's so grimy. It's so like the animatronic sharks, the stuff that they had to go through, how long they were on the water, how long they were in the water. It's just like that thing was grueling, and studios were pulling away from him when he was making it and telling me it was going to be a fucking disaster.
Yep.
They was telling him that this movie is a fucking disaster.
Yeah.
And guess what? One of the biggest things on the planet.
Yep.
Biggest things on the planet.
Yep.
When they did something a few years ago where they just showed people running from the beach. I don't even remember if it was a remake or it was a picture, but I just saw a poster and it was his face coming up and then all these people running.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. I don't even think it had Jaws on it. But as soon as I looked at the poster, I was like, that's Jaws.
Right.
And I remember going to Universal Studios and taking a little ride and, you know, kind of seeing some of the stuff that they made it with.
That was disappointing, son.
What, Universal?
The shark, when you first see the shark.
At Universal?
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You got to think how long that animatronic has been there doing what it's doing. When was the last time it was updated? But here's the thing. Just to be, if you really love film and if you really love, you know, if you're a film buff, just to be around that stuff and on that back lot and to see burning houses from the front, that there's no house in the back. There's just these little burners in the window and the fire comes up in the window off these little pilot lights. You look in the back, there's no house, but you look in the front, there's a frame of a whole house and it looks like it's on fire. The black soot and everything. All that stuff's on the back lot. So to love film, and I haven't been to Universal Studios now in probably 15 years, but to love film and to be on that back lot and to see where they make the movie magic and how they make some of it happen, it was just very interesting. And the shark was cheesy as fuck.
Right.
But it gave me a jolt. I wasn't expecting it. I mean, I knew what we were on, but I didn't know when and where.
But like in the commercial, though, back in the day.
Oh, it looked scary.
They made that shit look like I was going to eat some
Of course they did. Of course they did.
But they got our money.
They got our money. You know, when I was at, the last time I was there, they were doing the earthquake. And that thing was stupid, dude. I mean, stuff was popping and blowing and fucking manholes was flying and the water hydrant thing that the fire department, that thing was going off and the whole thing slid and the thing turned and the road cracked open. I was like, God damn. Yeah. This shit is, like, you could tell what they put into those scenes. Like, you just think, that's one scene in a film. Think about it. And then you see all the working parts, like you were just saying with the 40 guys, you see all the working parts. It's fucking amazing.
Yeah, man. Okay, Spawn.
Yes, sir.
Urge. Appreciate you guys coming
out. All the time, man. All the time. I'm going to do it again, man. As soon as I see some more shit, I'm going to go watch some of these and come back.
Yeah, me too. Anytime, definitely learned a lot today.
Yes, sir.
And that's what this podcast is about, too. You know, there's a lot I haven't seen, and I want to keep learning.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And watching some classics that I haven't seen. So, anyways, thanks for coming out. Thank you, Anderson. And episode 13, tune in.
Oh, yeah, man. Y'all check it out, man.
Peace.
Episode the 13th.